Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and today welcome Lori J. Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again. Lori is a sex therapist certified by the American Association of Sexual Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. She is the clinical director for Awakening Center for Intimacy and Sexuality, located in Raleigh, North Carolina, and often lectures at Duke University Medical School, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and is a popular speaker on sexuality, intimacy, and relationships. Hello, Lori, and welcome.
Hi, Sharon. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's a very important subject we're going to talk about today.
Yes.
And I like that you are a speaker on all those topics, sexuality, intimacy, and relationships, because without focusing on all of them, you really can have no success in any of them. So
that's absolutely right. It's so complicated, isn't it?
Yes, very, very much so. Healing from within, as my listeners know, suggests a higher awareness of self and life concerns, which can lead to healthier individuals and relationships. And we can learn more about the physical and the energetic parts of our life. In today's episode of Healing From Within, you and I will be discussing an ever-increasing concern existing between many people in committed relationships in regard to their views on sexuality and functioning in the sexual arena of their lives. Sadly, statistics now suggest 40 million American women are frustrated by their lack of sexual passion. But I believe the male population in this fast-moving, stressful technological world are also overwhelmed by the responsibilities, health issues, and emotional barriers restricting them from the more playful and innocent aspects of their soul and sexual needs. So as you and I know, and we'll get to it in a minute, before solutions to any facet of a relationship problem can be discovered, I think it must be recognized that before we can restore what's missing or perceived to be missing by one or the other person, what do we have to do? We must go within and restore ourselves. Right? In other words, perceptions may need to be changed for all parts of the relationship, including but not limited to the sexual relationship.
Absolutely. I like
how you said that. Yeah, I've seen this thought over the years because I have many clients. I'm a Reiki practitioner, intuitive healer, and I have many clients with all different health problems and all different ages. Now, sexual activity is indeed a component that's necessary, well, depending on the conditions of life, is one component of a fulfilled and joyful relationship life. But even more fundamental to our health and expansion is becoming a more conscious and evolved human being or citizen, and understanding all the personal, physical, and all the religious views that create dysfunction in any area of our relationship. So these are the things we're going to talk about today, and hope that we can see subtle ways to make necessary changes that could be practiced in our modern-day society. So, Lori, I find each of the guests on my show has been drawn to certain areas of study or involvement, usually due to their own life experiences. So can you tell us something about your interests and people who may have influenced you?
Yes, I have come across several psychotherapists and even people who are just writers who have really influenced me. There's a woman named Jill Scharf who is in your area. She's a psychiatrist and a sex therapist. And she works with a concept about how, you know, basically two people get attracted to each other on two levels. One is, of course, our positive conscious level. And there's this other level, the lower level, which is unconscious and has to do with where we come from, sort of the map of our families and what we know about intimacy and relationship. And on that level, we're also deeply attracted to somebody. But unfortunately, that's the level that we need to kind of work out and deal with, and that has a mysterious quality to it that is maybe more the shadow side of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, Jill has written lots of books, and she's supervised me as well. She's a wonderful resource up in New York for sex therapy. And, you know, I have found myself really fascinated by this idea that there are two ways we get attracted to people and two things that we need to think about, especially when things maybe don't work out as well, that perhaps it's not just a bad choice, but maybe it's a perfect choice for us, that this person has a part to them that we desperately need.
And other parts that... maybe aware of when we get started in a relationship. But Laura, you say in the book that couples in the earliest stages of love, they don't want to believe that everyone has sexual difficulties or changes at some point.
Right.
And I mean, I've heard it said that men marry a woman or have a relationship with a woman and want her to stay the same the way she is. And
yes.
And women want men to change. And that seems to be a little bit true and can set forth problems down the road.
Right.
But tell
right.
us some of the difficulties that will be experiences or patterns that can begin to emerge in every marriage. And I don't
sure.
want anyone out there thinking that they're the only one having a difficult time at some point in their relationship, because everyone will have experiences that will make it hard to communicate or to have the best sexual
mm-hmm.
interaction at some point in their relationship due to many reasons. So can
yes.
you tell something about that?
Yes, I love that you've asked me, because I think that the pattern is more than aging or more than, I get out of shape or something. The pattern where sex gets snagged is between somewhat what you referenced, between a pursuer and a distancer. And every relationship has this person, one of us is one and the other is the other. So very frequently, you're right, women are pursuers, which means I want something from you. I want you to change. I want you to do something for me. I want more love. I want more closeness, connection. And the man frequently is more interested in and finds intensity outside of his relationship, maybe in his job, maybe in his hobbies. He would be more of the distancer, somebody who's concerned with autonomy and independence.
Well,
that's a traditional stereotype, and, you know, it isn't always that way, but 75% of the time it does go that direction.
I think it's mostly that way, as you say, and I love the terms, and I see this pattern in almost every relationship. Now,
mm-hmm.
the men have been trained, and you have to remember, men are physically and chemically, their brain is different, and the way they respond hormonally is very different.
Absolutely.
So, and they've
You're
also
right.
been trained since childhood to reserve, stay somewhat distant, and reserve their emotions. And
yeah.
So we're dealing with many, many issues here. But basically,
right. But we do allow men, I think, to come close and to pursue sexually, that is sort of an ordained way that our society says is okay for men to get close.
Yeah, but that's not what women in an authentic, intimate relationship in this day and age really desire. I think what they're really desiring is, on all levels, a soul connection, being able to communicate and being able to be accepted in their growth, in their personal mm-hmm. growth, in their work, in their handling of the children, in their friendships, right. and the men really want the same thing also, but it's still, there's much work to be done there. But you also wrote in the book in regard to this, there is sometimes confusion over an acceptable balance of who initiates sex.
Yes.
And, you know, we know everyone will be turned down sometimes, and we shouldn't take it too personally. But I tell
Absolutely.
People this about many issues.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, when a person.
I think that people sometimes, I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you. Go ahead.
When a person sometimes is upset, they may act in a way that we perceive as something we did, and we will take it personally, but really it's usually their own issue and their own fear or problem at the moment. And we just, if we let it roll, things go back to normal very quickly. But if we persist in following that pattern of anger or upset towards a person, then we create a great distance. And that's not what we're trying to do in communicating and in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And I think that you said something about initiation, and I think many times in courtship, both people are initiating quite frequently. And then in marriage or in long-term committed relationship, it seems to skew in a heterosexual relationship more toward the male initiating. And I think that so many men in our egalitarian society think, okay, you are my equal, and are you not my equal then in terms of being an initiator? And I think that that can be really disappointing. But like you mentioned, I think men have a completely different brain and hormonal makeup. So I think that many times they are driven to initiate sexually. They have a biological urgency. And women, also something I think that you've touched on here, often get the urgency for sex based on a deep sense of connection.
Mm-hmm.
So that they feel they want to talk with, and that's how they turn on. They turn on by talking with their partner. And sometimes he says he really doesn't feel free to talk until he's already been sexual. And so it's kind of this conundrum. It's this battlefield where one says, give me what I want and I'll give you what you want. And they solve it that way.
That's an important word, battlefield. Now,
yeah,
that's what it becomes. It becomes a power issue. And,
yeah,
many people are in codependent relationships, mm-hmm, where you give me sex and I'll give you your household money. Or,
yep,
so many relationships.
Kill your soul when you think of it that
right,
way. Right,
right. But it goes on. And it's, let's make no mistake about this. Women and men are so chemically, emotionally, and physically different. Both sexes need to appreciate these differences,
mm-hmm,
so intimate relationships can grow and then be maintained. So we know women really desire an intimate relationship and to be cared for and to be respected for their intelligence. Most women are in the work field now. They're running homes, they're working, and it's no longer the way it was at the time when Masters and Johnson did their study, on sexual,
mm-hmm, right,
relationships and how sex affected us. There's a television show running now. It just started about that. I don't know if you've watched it, but
what's the title?
Masters and I don't know.
Oh yes, I've seen that. That it's just about to start, right?
It just started. I watched the first episode.
Oh, you did? Oh, that's great. I think that's on HBO.
But
was it good? It looked like it was going to be good.
It's interesting, and it's about a time when people had very little information about this, because,
mm-hmm,
we didn't talk about these things.
Sure.
There was such a division between men and women and the roles we were supposed to play. But that's gone now. So knowing that women are looking for authentic relationships, let's understand some of the differences between men's brain chemistry and their neurological wiring. I had a woman come to me once, and well, actually, I have this many times. And they say to me, they're not listening to me. They come home, my husband comes home, and I need him to help me take out the garbage. I have three small children. And he goes into the den, and he doesn't hear me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a study done in England. It's not that the men don't hear. It's as they get a little older, the vibration of a woman's voice goes to the musical center of the brain in a man, and they can't process and give you an answer right away. It needs to be deciphered and rechanneled so that they can think of how to react.
Mm-hmm.
So I suggested, they say, I'd like you to take out the garbage, and then say, but why don't you settle down, go into the den, and I'll come get you in a little while, and give them a little time to process it. And they would see that it's not that they're not listening, it's that other things are going on, and we shouldn't, women shouldn't nag, They need to be a little gentle and wait and realize some of these differences.
I also think, like, the way you said it is so good. I'd like you to take out the garbage. Making a direct request, would
yes.
you please take out the garbage for me, and waiting for a yes or a no? Or would you put the children to bed tonight, yes or no? Versus saying, you never put the kids to bed. You never help me.
That's
you
very
know,
negative.
You're not doing, you yeah. know, that kind of complaint is not a direct request. And sometimes a legitimate answer to a direct request is, no, I don't want to do that. Which means the woman does have power and freedom, and she might say, okay, but I'm exhausted too. So that means we need to hire a little extra help. Because if you can't help me with the chores and I'm too tired to do all the chores, then we need to portion out the way we have our money in a way that provides for all of us to have a little rest and a little help.
Well, that's great. And that's a way to get communication going and to have your needs met without arguing and without feeling angry, because
yeah.
you're just opening up the conversation. Now,
yeah.
you also said, I found this very interesting, desire is very different for women. You said men usually experience sexual hunger before arousal. It, like, just comes into them. Oh, yeah, I think this is a good thing to do right now.
Yeah.
Let's get going with this. And women, and you said women need to, I liked reading your book, because not only did you hit on what's really going on in relationships, but you also addressed the sensitive or soul or spiritual or energy side of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And many books just go into the techniques or the, you know, the reality part of it. And there's much
right.
more going on than just that. And that's what we're talking about. So
mm-hmm.
you said desire kicks in for women once they feel something. Now, there's
yes.
many ways to feel something. Would you tell us about some of the ways they might feel something, not only physically in the body?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I think that women don't have that sense of spontaneous hunger, really, because we have minimal testosterone. Men have, this is a big range, 1,000 to 300 nanograms per deciliter in their blood. That's a unit that expresses how much of this hormone they have. And both men and women have testosterone, and that's the governing hormone for desire. Women have only about 70 to 2. So a guy at 300, you know, he's really disrupted. He just does not think about sex very much at all. And women at our peak were 70. So just right there, there's such a difference. But when women become connected and feel stimulated, and maybe they start by cuddling, slow dancing, undressing, lying naked, whispering in the dark, just feeling physically connected, and I call it sort of change your mind about sex time. You know, you are letting go of the day and entering into a period of sensual pleasure. After about 20 or 30 minutes, even sometimes, then she says, something kicks into her, and she says, you know, I do want to do this. I do feel desire. Men, they have that initial hunger, and women have hunger once they start the process. Once they start making love, they say, oh, you know what? This really does feel good. I'm so glad.
Well, I have to say something here.
Sure.
Yes, that's true for the most part, but there are many women who have a stronger male energy.
And I do work with women who have more desire than their male partners, and I think that it's a difficult thing in our culture to be gender stereotype reversed.
Yes.
You know, especially women say, well, what's wrong with me? All my girlfriends say, you know, their husbands are pawing them and won't keep their hands off them, and I feel unattractive, I feel ugly because
I have to keep
urging him.
No, as a Reiki practitioner, I urge people to develop their own gifts, their own special needs, because you really can't help other people if you don't really first help yourself to be the most dynamic and happy human being you can be.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes in all aspects. It would definitely go into the sexual arena of our lives,
yes.
that we allow ourselves to respect ourselves enough to honor our needs and honor our partner's needs. It's like a cooperative effort. It cannot And it cannot become too stagnant. It has to be spontaneous, both on the woman's part and the male. I mean, we can't.
And that sounds so healthy. I love that you're saying.
I think that's
woman,
very
the woman
healthy.
Should really respect her strong desire as part of who she is, not feel culturally ashamed of it, but to revel in it and say, good for me, I have desire, I have libido.
Well,
and this is such a positive life force, isn't it?
That is, and that's a problem that religion and social institutions and certain educational thinking has limited people in their, you know, their spontaneity and their soul impulses. I mean, we were born to be joyful and happy and loving.
Mm-hmm. And to be sensual and physical.
And to be sensual.
And we are physical beings.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, Dr. David Sharaf writes, you talk about this in the book, in the sexual relationship, that this is important, actually, that sex functions in a marriage to ease the wear and tear of daily life, to reconnect two people in body and soul, and to facilitate forgiveness for the daily frustrations of living with one another.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So think about it. It's not just recreation or procreation. It's a way of saying to someone, you know, I know there are days when I don't hear you. There are days that I don't even see you. We're working, we pass each other by. But when we come together, it makes everything good again, all right again. I like thinking of it that way, you know?
Yes, yes. I love. And that's Jill Scharf's husband, actually.
David
and Jill are married. They're both psychiatrists.
Okay, so
yeah.
I picked up on that I like
did.
Very,
that was...
very much. And you also write that sex therapist Esther Perel says, mm-hmm. love enjoys knowing everything about you. But, and I remember my mother when she was alive used to talk about this, you need mystery in life. Desire needs mystery. And
right.
too often a couple can't settle into the comforts of everyday life and forget.
Right. And it becomes so familiar, right, too familiar.
Right. There needs to always be mystery. And what are some of the ways people can fan the flame of love and creation and desire?
That's such a good question.
What do you think about that?
You know, I think that one is by honoring and respecting the differences. You know, sometimes talking may be an incredibly erotic, sensual experience, and it doesn't necessarily have to culminate in orgasm, but it can be that tension building that, you know, kind of keeps us alive. And other times, you know, maybe we don't have to be deeply connected to go ahead and be physical. We can just go for it, throw it to the wind and try. And then the outcome can be so wonderful for both people. I love if people would just take some time together every week, you know, absolutely prioritize the relationship above the children.
Well, you do say
you know,
that, to have
yeah.
travel time together and sometimes even alone, that they should go away with friends on trips so that when they come back, they realize there's something very wonderful in the reconnection. You
right.
mentioned dinners and gifts and surprises and very important, being humorous, playful,
yeah.
musical, dancing, and
yeah.
flirting, and, you know,
some,
a lot
patient
of women
told,
are
a patient
doing
told me, a patient told me recently that she was going through a really tough time, and she said, but you know what? There will always be dancing.
Well, dancing.
And I loved that. I loved that.
Music is really the way, it's a higher vibration, and spiritually it is a way to make a connection to your higher consciousness,
mm-hmm.
dancing and music, and it can bring you such freedom that you can let go of some of the restrictions and fears that we developed or picked up as children, and
mm-hmm.
which hold us back from being as sensual and sexual as we should be. Because it
yeah.
is very, very wonderful part of life. Now, I had a woman on my show. Her name was Sarah Wiseman, and she wrote Manifesting the Divine. Mm-hmm. And she uses channeling for soul growth and healing. And she shared in that book a message that I found very beautiful and very valuable to the conversation we're having right now. She said, it addresses sex, how sex is viewed by spirit, and how indeed sex might be too focused at times by us, and we need to see it in the right perspective. So she wrote, well, actually, she wrote this, but it came from higher up. Love does not require soul mating. Love requires love. You will have the potential to choose to meet one or perhaps a few soulmates in your lifespan. There is not time for you to delve deeply in a connection with more than one or two in the lifespan you now have. In later times, it may be that you choose a soulmate at the beginning, the middle, and the end of your life. Notice, we do not talk of sex. Sex is a function of recreation, of lust, of energy, of the earth nature of the human. It is also a connective force that some of you may have experienced. It can be the essence of the complete creation energy. We do not confuse sex with love. Sex is a part of the world for humans as well as it is for animals, for flowers, for trees, for all living things that reproduce themselves. And you are not so different from other living creatures. Sex with love is a gift and should be cherished for the energy that passes from one to another. Sex without love is simply sex without love. Do not mistake the two. Do not pretend one is the other. Look clearly at your earth body and your infinite soul and understand the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think on that note, Lori, we can see that sex, while it's a great physical, spiritual, and emotional event, is but one way to know ourselves and others. Mm-hmm. And if we get preoccupied with the problems and foster and continue the same actions and reactions, however we are on this earth plane, you know, to evolve into more loving and compassionate beings. So what I'm saying is we can't get too involved only in one aspect of our relationships. We've got to learn to free ourselves from the harmful emotions that restrict love. And I believe if we become the best person we can, we will become more loving and we will attract a loving relationship. Mm-hmm. And then too much or too little sex, it's not going to really be the issue. It will be that we discover the true purpose of living a good life, a physical life, a spiritual life, to love ourselves and others. And you addressed all these subjects in your book. Mm. You described how some relationships cannot be saved at some point.
Right. Right.
When people grow apart, and I was waiting for that in your book, and I was very happy to see that, yes, sometimes we can rekindle a relationship, and sometimes it's time to find another way to find joy in a life. So I want to thank you, Lori Watson, for joining us on Healing from Within, and for more information on how to rediscover your desire and heal a sexless marriage, read Lori Watson's book, Wanting Sex Again. She offers stories, situations, techniques, and an understanding of the emotional issues that ultimately make sex a problem for many couples. Go to LoriWatson.com. Is that correct?
Yes, thank you.
Very good. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, Lori and I have tried to show that often a lack of information, poor communication, and self-defeating behaviors and patterns learned earlier in life lead men and women or same-sex couples to approach their relationships with emotional bias, baggage, and unrealistic, often immature expectations. Developing your inner spiritual world and acting from what we know to be right for us individually will make us happier and healthier human and soul beings. And you can't demand a good life or good sex. You have to create the loving conditions and be the example for an open, trusting, and honest, authentic relationship. And I believe, and Lori, I think you do too, that this can only be achieved by self-investigation and self-mastery of our emotions and beliefs. So I ask our listeners now to begin to improve your thinking and actions and ask for help when help is needed and watch love come to you. Mm-hmm. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, or go to WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com to hear guest speakers encourage a greater vision of ourselves and the world we are creating. Thank you.